Yeah, it's time to parlay, time to win a little money. Deegan and Juice with Kylan and Stucky. I know you got a chalk, but it's time for the teaser. This is how we do it when it's football season. Ayy, Kylan and Stucky, yeah. Ayy, Kylan and Stucky, whoop.
What's up, Degenerate Nation? Welcome to Degen and Juice Week 15, Episode 21. I'm Stucky, and with me, as always, is Colin Wilson. What's going on, Colin? Are you excited for this enormous one-card Saturday, college football?
And, you know, it's the most exciting game that we could possibly get, right? Another Commander-in-Chief trophy game and a couple of option offenses going at each other. And, you know, I have to admit, though, this is the most wonderful time of the year. There's this peaceful
13 days.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. Everybody's got so many hot takes right now about who should have been in the playoff, who should be out. I couldn't hedge my Bryce Love. Like, you know, for some reason, I couldn't buy four other Heisman candidates the entire year. This team should be this. This team won't care about this. This coach is this. It's the greatest. I mean, just it's the greatest time of the year for me.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. All right. We'll get to all that. First, well, in the process of watching the Bengals melt down against the Steelers again, I didn't know who I wanted to root for the Ravens, because the Bengals would have been one game back, and they play the Ravens in the last game of the year, so I kind of wanted to eliminate it. But then, because I don't think we were going to catch the Steelers for the division, but This game was hard to watch when Shazier went down. I really hope that he's okay. I mean, it's hard to watch. I played football my whole life. Played linebacker, and that could happen at any time. I mean, it's so rare, but the way that he went down, and he was, you know, he grabbed his back and then his legs went numb, and then he was, you know, trying to look like he was grabbing his hands for feeling, and then so I hope that it's like a pinched nerve or something, because I mean, fuck football, I mean, just for life. I mean, he's got a kid and he's got his whole life ahead of him, so I hope that there's good news. I was crushed to see that he was carted off with his hands over his face and not given like the thumbs up. So I'm hoping that it's something, you know, that Colbert came down and he was saying that to Tomlin that, you know, he has no feeling in his lower extremities. So I'm hoping that it's a pinched nerve or something else. So thoughts are definitely with Shazier tonight. So, looks like the Bengals are going to melt down again.
Absolutely. They had the Steelers plus 6.5. I've been playing this live 4.5, 6.5. And then when that happened, I was like, oh,
I know. I was, it's hard to, to get back up after that happens. I mean, it's hard to watch. Imagine trying to play. But for Super Contest update, Colin went rogue again. So if you listen to this podcast, you know, you'll hear Colin say, all right, I need you to walk me through December. And I say, okay, I usually do well in NFL in December. So then, you know, I tell him Packers. He's like, I don't like the Packers. I'm going to put your name on it. So I pick the Packers. The Packers cover. So then we decide on four other ones. And they were the Seahawks, which we agreed on. The Broncos. I don't want to talk about that. And who else?
We had a winner with the Ravens.
The Ravens, of course. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to tell you to put the Ravens unless they're a winner.
But okay. So
and then their last one was the Browns. So I don't hear from Colin, and I text him on Sunday and I say Packers, and then he's like, "That's big for us." And I'm like, "What did we end up putting in, by the way?" And thinking I'm about to start watching the Browns, who are covering, and root for them to come home, and then hopefully get a 4-1 day. And he tells me the Cardinals. And I'm like, where the hell did the Cardinals come from? So you went rogue again.
I mean, if I could throw any defense in there, so here's the two that we left off with for our fifth slot this past week. It was the Browns, and I've eaten enough shit with that team personally with my own funds in the Super Contest. I'm so tired of Deshaun Kizer getting into the red zone and just some bullshit happening. So I avoided us in our discussion about the Browns, you know, and they cover, of course. And then the other one was the Saints, and I don't really understand why I laid off that and why the cards got my attention, but it was one of those things where you wake up Saturday morning and I got 30 minutes to put it in, and I'm scrambling and I'm I'm looking at yards per play, and I'm kind of trying to adjust, and I'm noticing that, you know, the Cards' yards per play, you know, against their opponent was supposed to be dead even. So,
yeah, but the whole team is out. They're playing with Blaine Gabbert and Kerwin Williams.
This is a dude, Blaine Gabbert. This is a fired up Blaine Gabbert. This isn't Missouri Blaine Gabbert.
Next year, I'm gonna have to put these in. That's what we're gonna have to do.
That means you're gonna have to get up in the morning and put. Well, you're always up.
I'm always up. It's not gonna matter. I don't sleep. What the hell's sleep? All right. So
still went 3-2. We went 3-2.
I know. Well, we at least it was in the last 4 weeks, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We got the mini contest. The mini contest starts. You can submit them week 15, 16, and 17.
No, that's fine. Whatever. You can do it for the mini contest. So let's go over the weekend really quick, and then we'll get into some of the future stuff, playoffs, Heisman, things like that. And, you know, I guess then we'll get into the Army-Navy. We'll look at some bowls. But, you know, just know that we'll have some podcasts weekly going forward. We just wanted to get this out there for as a reactionary piece. It'll be quick. It should be about a half hour. And then for what happened last weekend, playoffs, to make sure that we get this out there for you guys. So I'll start with last weekend, just looking back. And then I'll run through some of these games with you. But my best call – well, first, my favorite game had to be Central Florida-Memphis. That was a hell of a game, back and forth. I thought they could have just went forever in overtimes. Like, they would have, we would have been talking about Arkansas records. But then Memphis threw that pick, tough break. He had 7. Hopefully, he didn't have 6.5.
But to give credit to the podcast where we said, "Hey, if you like,"
you said that it was going to be 7. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So get the 7.5 on Memphis, get the 6.5 on UCF. So,
yeah, I'm going to say my best call of the day. Man, I think I ended up like around 500 day on Saturday, but I had to fight my ass off for it, and I got lucky. Like, I had Ohio State under. I had Clemson in a money line parlay. Does that count as breaking my curse? I don't know. I had Troy, who looked great, and then I needed a last minute touchdown. I had New Mexico State. Man, talk. I got to find out where to spend CLV. I got to find out where to spend closing line value. Because I got New Mexico State minus 9, that closed at 13. I had UMass plus 1, they closed at minus 3. I still just haven't figured out who will take closing line value as a currency. I can't find a really great call that I had, which is pretty bad. So I'm going to say that Georgia, obviously.
Now you're taking mine. I thought we were going to get away with it here.
Yeah, I'm going to say Georgia was my best call on a day where I didn't really crush anything. They were really impressive. But how about you? Favorite game, best call?
Yeah, I'll add to that. So my favorite game of the day, probably, as I'm looking at the list, because I definitely know what the best call was, but as I'm looking at the list, I'm going to go with Coastal Carolina, because for me, that was, I knew that the team was coming together. Their interim coach took over for their head coach, who was he's been battling with some health issues and some cancer, and I know he's coming back. And then Coastal was coming off of a bye, as to where Georgia Southern was on back-to-back weeks, and they just hired their coach. So it was a really good call, and it was a cover the entire time. It wasn't a sweat, and I'm glad the chance got in there. So that was my favorite game of the day, because it's, you know, it's one of those things, again, where it started off the CW9 as a winner, and I think it went 2-1-1. It finished, you know, well above 500 this year, and I look forward to doing it next year. So my best call of the day, which was in the CW9, was taking Georgia over Auburn. And there was a point last week where, you know, I really thought that I was the only person, at least within my own group of circle of people and with people I converse with on the Twitter and people I converse with in my real life. I felt like I was the only person that was on Georgia, and everybody had the last 3 weeks on their mind about what Auburn was going to do to them. But you knew Kerryon Johnson was hurt. I knew that this wasn't going to be played at Jordan-Hare. I tweeted this within the first drive of Georgia. I said, Fromm just completed a third and long. You know, I mean, Fromm completed multiple second and third and longs, and it's exactly kind of what I predicted was, if the running game can get going, and Nick Chubb was just a monster that game, if the running game can get open, that's going to get Fromm a little bit extra time to throw, and that's going to give the defense a chance to have their breath, and Roquan Smith just ate all day. And I can't wait to get into thinking about what he's going to do to Baker Mayfield, but Georgia by far, you know, it's funny. I think the one closing thought on that game for the SEC championship was The exact same polar opposite thing happened down at Auburn on November 11th. Georgia came out. They ran the field their first time, and they scored a touchdown. And then after that, they were done. They didn't score the rest of the day. And this game in the SEC Championship, Auburn came out and scored, I think, on their first or second possession, and that was it. They were done for the rest of the game, and Georgia took over. So it was really just an extreme polar opposite. Same script, just two different teams from the two times they played.
Trivia question. Who was the leading rusher? Russia. It sounds like I'm asking you a political question. Who was the leading rusher for Georgia in that game?
Was it the third string kid?
DeAndre Swift. Philly kid from the prep.
Yep.
Yeah, he had 7 carries for 88 yards. He broke that long one. I don't know if I was. Oh, by the way, I had that Coastal Carolina. I did, instead of betting Coastal Carolina, making life easy on myself on Saturday, I did everything the hard way. I had the under in that game, so I needed no 49, points. And,
49 and a half, right?
I got 51. So I mean, I had good numbers. They close at 48, and so I needed no points over the last 17 minutes, like no touchdowns, and it happened.
You're making fun of my coastal bets, and you're taking the under on the game.
And then in regards to Georgia, I mean, I could be biased because I was on Georgia. I love Georgia, but they were getting shafted by the refs that game.
Uh-huh.
I mean, some of the personal fouls they kept calling it was outrageous. But yeah, eventually they took over. There was a couple enormous plays from a momentum standpoint when they had that forced fumble and then the blocked field goal.
Yep.
And but yeah, they ran the ball. What did they run the ball over? I mean, that's what we said that they were going to have to do. You know, Fromm had a good day, but it was an efficient day. Yep. You know, he wasn't dropping back 40 times, letting that off Auburn defensive line, and that's kind of what happened. I think they're going to run all over Oklahoma, but we'll get to that.
I've got over 35 carries here. I got 7 for Swift, 13 for Chubb, 7 for Michelle, and a few others.
Yep. All right, let's get into worst call and bet regret. For bet regret, I'll say I bet UMass. I mean, I didn't think FIU is going to a bowl, and you know they were bowl eligible. UMass wasn't. UMass is playing well. I know it was their second back-to-back road game, but they've won 4 or 5. They showed me that they liked that early road game slot at Miss State. You know, it's going to be the end of their year, granted, they were in the red zone all day and they were turning it over. And I mean, that game was wild. But I don't know why I got involved with FIU UMass. That's my bet regret. Worst call of the day has to be TCU. I'm curious to get your thoughts on that game. They weren't. You know, they just looked overmatched, and for a time I was like, all right, here we go, and then no, they just got their doors blown off and they couldn't stop the explosive plays. Curious to get your take on that, and then your worst call and bet regret.
Yeah, so as far as the TCU-Oklahoma game, I had a couple of people float into my DMs, and they're like, well, we're reading the CW9, and you've tweeted a bunch about TCU, but you didn't write up about it. And I said, yeah, well, I mean, the problem is them allowing explosive plays, and they're going up against the team that is the most explosive team through the air, and that's just a really bad formula. And even though I think TCU is going to come out and they're not going to be sleeping through the first part of this game, which, you know, they weren't sleeping through the first part of the game. They just put the ball on the carpet, and they completely gave OU a couple, spotted them a couple scores to start the game, and you can't do that against this team, and especially when, you know, you're one of the worst defenses in the nation and explosive plays. So, you know, they just got behind. They could never catch up. Their offense is not as dynamic as OU. They were at least awake at the beginning of the game, I guess you could say. And then, you know,
the drop fumble was huge. I mean, they held them to a field goal. And then also you are set up to have the ball. I mean, this is what the Patriots do every week. They had the ball at the end of the half perfectly, but then they don't get a shot in the end zone. They settle for a field goal, and then they go 3-and-out at the start of the second half. I mean, that's a chance to get, you know, if you're playing, you know, Texas Tech, 3 and a punt is fine, but if you're playing Oklahoma, you need at least 7 on one of those drives. And, you know, then Oklahoma eventually just exerted its will.
Yeah. Now, I can't call Arkansas State Troy, like, the worst call because Arkansas State, like, almost doubled them in yards. So I'm just going to stay away from that one because I'm a little raw about that one, but I'll go with North Texas. Pretty bad call by me. I was pretty excited about getting the Mean Green, waiting on them all morning to get 14. It never did. It hung around 11 all day. Jumped on them at 11. I think if you heard me talk on the pod, it wasn't really so much that I think that they can limit FAU. It was so much that they could keep up with FAU. But, you know, that's really that game is a prime example of the difference between explosiveness and efficiency. North Texas is extremely efficient on offense, which means they can move the chains. They can get 12-yard gains. You know, they can control the possession of the ball, as to where Florida Atlantic just flat out on the ground is just, they're going to run a 70 spot on you at any second. And North Texas could never get back into this ball game. And that kid, what's funny was, is I had somebody tweet me like, you should be responsible for all of us losing North Texas. And I thought to myself, dude, it's just one bet. I mean, we've got like seven out there today. All right. It's just one bet. But I was live betting North Texas into the 30s. And that kid dropping the ball at the 1 yard line, running in for Florida Atlantic, that actually helped me get a bunch of live bets in the 30s home, thanks to that kid for FAU dropping the ball. So thank you very much.
Yeah, they were down 30-0 before I even turned the game on. And then I thought they were going to get back in it because Florida Atlantic didn't even come out for the second half. They just were going backwards and punting it. And then North Texas they were like down 17 at one point.
Right.
And after they threw a Hail Mary for a 2-point conversion, they just went all the way back to like the 40-yard line. But then, no. They were out of it from the beginning. Yeah, I mean, Troy did get, it was more than double. They got doubled up. I think Arkansas State, I had Troy, by the way, I played Troy -1. I was living on the edge all day, man. And then they went down by one, so I needed a score. But they had a 100-yard interception return for a touchdown. They had the same kid, Marcus Jones. He also had a kick return for 99-yard kick return for a touchdown. They had three picks. Arkansas State was in the red zone seven times and only scored one touchdown and didn't score five times.
That's just a game. I'm not going to kick myself for taking Arkansas State on that.
I think Troy is the number one red zone defense.
Number three in green zone. So that's,
green zone. But I'm, not, yeah, I know the green zone is. It's important. But they're number one in the red zone, too. And I think they're number six in like the purple zone. Who knows what these colors are anymore?
Playing UCA? Is that what the purple zone is?
That could be. So, all right. Well, let me see if there's any games in here that we didn't cover that you curious to see if you took anything from them. I know you laid it with Boise, or you liked Boise. Did you see anything in that game that you weren't expecting?
I think Fresno is way better than I thought, and they actually showed up. I didn't think they would get off the plane. They got off the plane, and Boise escaped that game barely. So, you know, I take it from here that Fresno is going to be a play-on team when it comes to the bowl game. Boise getting matched up with Oregon, I think, is a bad thing. But, yeah, that's what I took away from it.
Yeah, and then, I mean, Miami, Clemson, it's a shame for that game. I mean, I never believed in Miami all year. But they were without. They lost their starting running back, their best receiver this week, their best tight end last week. They were just overmatched. I mean, it's if you look at that game, the yardage, it was 30-3. The yardage was 331 to 214. Here's a trivia question for you. Well, who was the leading rusher for Clemson?
It wasn't Kelly Bryant, was it? Should have been.
No, it was one of their running backs who had 20 yards. The leading rusher
20 had yards?
Yeah, Clemson. Leading rusher had 24 yards.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, so, I mean, but Miami just wasn't going to be able to score. They lost their three most important, besides your boy Berrios, but they lost their three most important skill position players on offense. It's hard to score when, I mean, especially they didn't even have time to adjust. Like, if you lose them earlier in the year, but they lost Amon Richards this week in practice to an injury. And then they lost their tight end last weekend against Pitt. So that's a shame. But Clemson, Bama, rematch, New Orleans, initial lean there. I played Bama. I think they're a banger.
I placed a very large wager on Bama -1. I mean, we can save this for another podcast, but
just wanted to get your initial lean.
Yeah, Bama, and then, by far.
Here's my problem, is that I like, my initial leans are, I was going to bang whoever that was, by the way. You were going to have Urban Meyer, Nick Saban, with people saying, like, the other one should have been in. And they would have. They also have revenge. You got to feel bad for Clemson. They have revenge versus Clemson, and I like the matchup of both. And then, so I was going to play whoever that was. And then I saw the Georgia Oklahoma matchup. By the way, is fascinating. We'll get into this on another pod, but it's you have you don't have a team like Georgia in the Big 12, and you don't have a team like Oklahoma in the SEC, right? So you don't have a team as explosive as Oklahoma with the passing game that Oklahoma brings, and you don't have a team that's going to run and out physical you like Georgia would in the Big 12. So it's a really fascinating game from a contrasting styles perspective. The only problem that I have, and I'll ask you about the what you think about the playoff rankings. I really thought Ohio State was going to get in, and mainly just because of it was like a political thing. I also thought Bama's resume. They also have injuries that they're dealing with. So I didn't really believe in them. But, I mean, now the way that it works is we have the potential for a Bama-Georgia championship game. That would be terrible. I don't want to see an Alabama-Georgia championship. I like both of those. I think that's what it's going to be. But I think those teams are going to be better. But I don't want an SEC game as the two teams in the same conference that play each other, you know, all the time that are, you know, what is Athens and Tuscaloosa, 100 miles from each other? You know, I mean, it's cool if you're an SEC fan. You're just going to have SEC chants, like, down there. But, I mean, I don't want to see that. So, but I thought they were going to, you know, instead of putting two SEC teams in, when there was going to be a question mark no matter what. I thought they were going to side with Ohio State, who did win their conference championship. But at the end of the day, I'm not a fan. So I don't care. I move on, and then I look at the bets and see what we're going to do. But I really did think, before the market started moving, and I knew it must have been released and leaked, that I really thought it was going to be Ohio State. What were your thoughts there with the whole playoff?
Yeah, I was watching that five dimes line. Like that was fun to tweet about because that was amazing juice. Money was just flowing in on Alabama.
115 to 135 to 300 to 400. Then it came back down a little bit.
So finally there was some buyback on Ohio State. I think they got it right. There's two things I want to focus on. One is
you didn't believe in Bama though either.
No, I don't believe in Bama either, but there's reasons why I didn't believe in Bama, and that's they're extremely beat up. Their defense is playing like their eighth linebacker of the year. Their offensive line is extremely beat up, and it had holes, and Hurts is being chased out. And so, I mean, all of their problems are mostly 90% injury-related. And the fact that they hadn't really played anybody, they kind of had a similar schedule. I mean, they did run through the SEC, but... You know, how strong is a game against Texas A&M and Arkansas and Ole Miss and Mississippi State on the road? You know, there were holes in this team, and I think it was more injury-related. I don't think there's any problem with Brian Dabble, their offensive coordinator. I don't think there's any problem with their defensive front four. I just think they were really soft in the middle, and I think a lot of that had to do with injuries, with Mika Fitzpatrick and stuff. So this Bama team today, I don't think they would beat these other three teams. This Bama team in 30 days after they get healthy, I think it's a completely different cap. It's a completely different ballgame for these guys. So
yeah, but that's so speculative in that, like, I mean, we're gonna have to cap that and get into it because I agree that's what we were using as the basis for a lot of our bets against Alabama on the podcast, against Auburn and Mississippi State. We were saying, look, these injuries are gonna catch up to them on their defensive side. So obviously, if they have a month off, and I'll get into a rant about that in a minute, but they're going to get healthier. Finding out how much healthier is that we're going to have to actually go in and say, okay, is this player, are they going to be at 100%? Are they going to be at 80%? So we'll get into that, but it seems very speculative for the committee to be like, they're going in and researching the status of all these injured players to find out where they'll be, you know?
I'm not really so much sure, and that was going to be my second point. I'm not really so much sure it's Alabama that got itself in. It might have been Ohio State with their two losses and the way they lost to Iowa and, you know, people complaining about how they played UNLV and, you know, it was one of their non-conference games. But I just think the two losses in general and the way that they lost at Iowa, I mean, think about Penn State. If Penn State would have been the representative and they would have won the Big Ten, I think they would have been in because they only lost two games by a combined 4 points. So, you know, and that was against two teams that were in the top 25. So I think if it had been Penn State, it would have been a different story.
Penn State is going to – my pop is a diehard Penn State fan. They are going to – that Ohio State game is going to haunt them for so long. Uh-huh. If they hold on to that game, they're in. I mean, they're playing Wisconsin to get in, at least.
And I think they're playing Clemson. So, in my opinion.
No, I'm saying they would have been playing Wisconsin. They obviously still could have lost to Wisconsin, but they would have been playing to get in.
I don't think they would have lost. I think they would be playing Clemson.
Oh, I agree. Oh, gotcha. So it's unfortunate, but at least the people in Ohio have the Browns to look forward to. So there's that. But the one thing that I'll say is that you can always argue this whole playoff thing, right? So I agree the playoff structure is better than what we had before. Go look up how many national champions did this team win, right? So go look up how many national championships did Bama win. You will find anywhere from 12 to 20. Some of their school will say 18. It depends on if the AP name it. There's all kinds. I mean, you'll find different numbers for every school. If you go to Wikipedia pages, there's a section that will say claimed national champions. And then it's like, here's the official one, here's the AP. So before, you used to have co-mess. No one wants co-national champions. Mess. This isn't soccer. There's no ties. It's disaster. So it's better now. You know, and you could always say, well, what if it's 8? And then someone could say, all right, well, let's make it 16. But my arguments for expanding it are not just for get this other team in. It's for the stupid. I want this weekend to matter more, number one. And then I want not a month break. So then I want, okay, the first weekend of December, we play conference championship weekend. The five conference champion winners are going to get in. That makes those games all epic, right? And then you give a little guy who's undefeated, they get a slot. And then you have two at-larges. So if someone didn't make it to the conference championship, you know, because they lost a random game and they're in a tough division like Bama, they're obviously in. But what I think that solves more than anything, because then you can say, let's go to 16. You know, you can go on forever. But what that solves is that it makes conference championship weekend, awesome. And there's, you don't have someone that Bama going to be off for a month and a half before they play. And then you don't have this month break. I mean, you lose so much momentum. There's just everything dies down. We have to have a weekend of just Army, Navy, and then a weekend of a random bowl here and there. And you lose all the momentum. And so I think that expanding it to 8 would solve a lot of the ancillary issues that happen as a result of the structure that we have now. Curious to get your thoughts there.
I agree with you on 8. I kind of have a different system. I would say take the Power 5 conference champions, 2 wild cards, and a group of 5. You know, that would give you your 8 teams, and you can seed them however you want. But, there's a different way to do it with, how you would get to your seeds and how you would integrate the conference championship games. It's really kind of the same format of getting your 8, but I'm not sure if it's ever going to happen. This brings me to another point. Something you got to watch for this year is they moved the signing day period up. They moved it up to December 20th. So now these coaches, now remember this, these bowls that are happening between now and the first weekend of December 16th, signing day is now December 20th. So these coaches are pulling double duty trying to prepare for a bowl, and also they're hot on the recruiting trail at the same time. It's a mess right now if you're one of these early bowl teams.
Yeah, and we'll get into all of that. And one of the biggest aspects of capping bowls, the good thing is you have a lot of time to cap these things, and you can get into a lot of the advanced stats, which we will. So there's going to be certain matchup angles, but a lot of it is motivation. But does this team want to be here? Is this team not? Why not? Is there a coaching change? What is the impact to that? So is that team getting a new coach? Are they losing a coach? Have they not been to New Mexico State? Well, it's just a tease one that we both put out there. They're playing a play that we both put out on Twitter and the Sports Action app, New Mexico State +7.5 against Utah State. They haven't been to a bowl in 57 years. And they finally won on last weekend. They get in. I mean, that's a team that I want to back going to a bowl that I know will be motivated. I know the people in Las Cruces will probably travel. There's going to be some excitement around the program for finally going to a bowl. That's kind of the team that I know will come out and at least have the energy and motivation. So then the next step is, okay, who are they playing? And do they really care? And is there just some glaring mismatch that wants to keep me away from it, which I didn't see, thought the number was inflated, which led me to a New Mexico State play. But do you have any just general feedback on bowls?
Well, since you're the Jeopardy guy, I want to give you a trivia question. You ready?
Oh my God. All right.
Who did New Mexico State play 57 years ago in 1960 in their last bowl game?
I actually read this because I think it was this team, right? That they're playing, yep, Utah State.
It's Utah State.
Well, here's the thing is that I, when I was betting New Mexico State, when I laid 9.5 against South Alabama, stupid bet, although they were in the red zone up 13-3 and threw a pick, I think so. But when I was capping that game, I was reading an article about New Mexico State and their whole program and how they wanted to get, I think it was the Sun Bowl, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
And like how that this is just like so important to them, and then they really want to go to a bowl. And then I started reading about how there could have been one too many bowl teams, and then they would have to leave someone out, but they probably wouldn't leave New Mexico State out. So yeah, I did know that, but yeah, they're playing the same team that they did 57 years ago, Utah State.
Yeah. I'm really excited for New Mexico State. I mean, I read that they're only going to Tucson because it was one of the very few places that they could actually, their team itself could only afford to travel to, was to this Arizona Bowl in Tucson. So they should be one of the most fired up teams. You know, UAB is going to be one of the most fired up teams. On the opposite end of the spectrum of that, Mississippi State not only loses Dan Mullen, he picked up the whole crew and took them to Florida. So I think like the running backs coach is the one that's going to be in charge of this thing. So there's a lot to break down. I know where you and I are working on the schedule of how we're going to get this information out, but you know, you got to find the motivation. You got to find the coaching staff. Like, the flip side of that is Florida State doesn't have Jimbo anymore, but these kids are playing for this interim coach. I think Haggins is his name, and he's been with the program for forever. And the players love this kid. Or I'm sorry, the players love this coach who's been there forever, and I think that they will produce for him.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that Mississippi State, I mean, they're probably just, I can't see them caring at all. But yeah,
Without Nick Fitzgerald too, so you don't have your quarterback, you don't have your entire coaching staff. That's a weird cap. It's going to be a hard one.
Yep. And to add context to Colin's statement, I passed the first level test, so I'm studying for Jeopardy to eventually be on there one day, and hopefully I will get on there and not embarrass myself. Lifelong dream. But we'll not only be on the podcast covering this, but we'll have articles out. So we're still trying to figure out the logistics, whether or not it's every day that there's bowls, or if we do it in the beginning of the week or one per bowl. We're still trying to figure that out. But we'll make sure we have you covered with the betting angles, you know, matchups, motivation, all of that. So before we sign off here, let's cover this enormous card on Saturday. It's huge. So we have Army Navy. I'll never forget going to this game. It's actually at the Link. It used to be down in Baltimore, and I think before that it was in Philly. I remember going as a really little kid, and Bill Clinton was the president. And my dad took me and my brother, and we were sitting in like the same section as Bill Clinton when he came, and then all the Secret Service came over. I was really young. That's like all I remember. But the Army-Navy, you know, so this will be the only game on Saturday. It'll be on 3 o'clock on CBS. What I have here for this game is, and this is a shocking trend, and it makes sense. We've covered this on the Action Network and Sports Action Net before. Unders when service academies have played since 2005 are 29-8-1. And this under opened at 51. I think it came down to 48. It might even be lower than that now. Think I've covered this on the pod before. It makes sense. It's logical. So I don't necessarily love trends that, you know, are just random correlation. There's also, you know, causality. I get interested. This one makes sense. You're going to be playing. It's not only that you have option teams that are playing each other and their clock's going to be running. It's that option teams are playing each other, so they're familiar with each other. They're seeing the option all year round, so they can defend it. And then you're never going to have anyone run off the score. Right, so you're never going to get garbage touchdowns at the end when someone's leading. So the trend makes sense. I would lean under here, but I don't know. I generally don't like to bet this game. You have any feel here?
Yeah, so the number is spot on. It's sitting at 3.5 right now. I've got Navy -4. There's a major, if you look in the advanced stat category, There's a really big advantage for Navy in their offensive efficiency versus Army's defensive efficiency, which means Navy's going to be able to move the chains all day. This game should literally only be about an hour and 45 minutes long because it's just going to be clock running, balls running on the ground. To add to Stuck's little trends and stuff that we love trends so much, you know, the unders, this game's gone under, you know, five of the last times these two teams have played. And even though I'm not a big trend guy, you know, Navy has only covered this game once in the last 6 years, but they've won this game 9 out of the last 10. So if you're following that logic, you would think that this game comes directly down on three, Navy by three.
Yeah, but generally it's been higher than this, right? So
yeah, true.
But yeah, you're right that it has been close lately. The questions that I have, I mean, I've said it all year. Army's been smoking mirrors, man. I mean, you know that they're going to – their red zone defense has been ridiculous. They're up there with – I don't know what their green zone numbers are, but they're up there with Troy in red zone defense. I think they actually might be number three in the red zone. Maybe they're number one in the green zone.
I'm going to get green. I'm going to get green zone in every bowl preview just for you.
What? Look up the green zone numbers right now and see what Army is. I bet you they're up there.
All right. Keep talking. I get it for you.
Yeah, so the one thing that I would look at is – who's healthy for Navy. I mean, because their injury report is long, and they've had a long break, but they have a defensive end, cornerback, multiple linebackers. I think they have three running backs, a couple corners. I have to go through and see how important they are, but that's something to keep in mind for this game. I'll look at the under. I think I agree with Kyle Collins so that it'll be clock running. I don't know. It feels like maybe 21-17. I think Navy pulls it out, but
Army is eighth in offensive green zone efficiency.
How about defensive?
61st, which I guess is a little bit of a surprise.
Wow. Okay. And then what is Navy in both?
We need the Jeopardy music while I'm looking at this. actually 48th in offensive and 107th in defensive. So 107th, for Navy with Army being eighth on offense, Army should finish every single time they get past the 40.
Yeah, but that's, you know, a lot of that is going to be it because Navy is in a conference of throwing teams and they don't have a secondary. They're going to be a lot more effective at stopping the option than they would, you know, when they're playing Memphis and SMU, who they can't stop through the air. You don't have to worry about what's Army going to have one passing attempt.
Bradshaw, you never know. I don't know. He could throw it to himself.
Right? So yeah, I mean it's not a great game, but before yeah, this is going to be the only podcast this week. We just wanted to make sure that we got out there for you guys, and we'll keep these going. We'll start to cover NFL too some more, but we'll make sure that we have all the bowls. We'll get on here every week. Make sure that you download the Sports Action app if you haven't. Download this, subscribe, unsubscribe, subscribe, then unsubscribe and subscribe again on iTunes. And yeah, we'll catch y'all next week unless you have anything to add, Colin.
No, I'm ready. We're going to pump out as much information as we possibly can so that you can bet on all these games. And it's time for us to stick our nose in at the lab and get all this work done.
And one last thing before we go, who's Arkansas got in the bowl? All right, we'll catch y'all later.
Chad Morris.
All right, guys, we'll catch y'all later. Cheers.
Peace out. Laid back. I got me some sequins jeans. Everybody got their cups, but they ain't chipped in.